Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 1:27 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is July 15th. Well, in here today we had a reasonably meaningful move in China, and it wasn't quite an upside key reversal, but it was certainly well off the lows, and it confirms some support coming through at around the 3,000 level. Economic growth in China is definitely slowing down, and we know why. They've been weighing as much as possible on the shadow banking sector. That has been choking off liquidity to the regional banks, to regional governments, as that's perhaps the more important point. Then, of course, you've had the trade war, and that has been weighing on demand, and perhaps more in terms of uncertainty than anything else. But certainly you're seeing a trend where US manufacturers are migrating away from China. That doesn't necessarily mean that manufacturers elsewhere are. But for example, we've already seen that Apple is now producing phones in India. Well, that could well be to supply the Indian market, but it could also be viewed as an attempt to circumvent sanctions, or well, let's call them tariffs on China. If China is going to repair the economic damage done, and certainly the increasingly overt attempts to control the populace through technology are having a marked effect on sentiment. Well, then there has to be some countervailing argument that China's authority or monetary and fiscal authorities are going to have to do more in order to support growth. And I think that's what people are starting to think about now, that economic growth has already pulled back. If they're going to provide assistance, then now is the time. So that's why the stock market is starting to do better. We've also started to see that instruments that are dependent on China growth are starting to also do better. So copper was in positive territory today. It's bouncing from around this $2.60 area. That's from the lower side of the range. It has a lot of work to do, though, in order to really confirm that we are back in a demand-dominated environment. At the very minimum, it's going to have to sustain a move above the trend mean. So far, this continues to look like type 2 top formation with right-hand extension. There is the possibility that the nickel price is going to lead on the upside. It has got a much more overt bullish case. When we think about what the outlook is for the electric car market, for example, or the evolution of 8-to-1-to-1 battery technology, then the nickel stands out. But the more important point is that it has held a sequence of higher major reaction lows since early 2016, and the rebound over the last 3 or 4 weeks has confirmed the most recent of those higher reaction lows. The sequence of higher highs is not nearly as consistent, but it is the higher lows are more important in an evolving uptrend, and not least considering the persistence of the decline down from the peak in 2011. Then I think it's also worth keeping an eye on the oil price. The oil price today was down a bit, around 58 cents, but it's right in the region of the trend mean. And when we look at that on a longer term basis, we're presented with this rather choppy environment. I continue to think that we're just probably going to get more of the same, that there is ample supply. And particularly against a background where global economic growth has been moderating, then we'd need a significant uptick in order to really drive the demand cycle for oil prices. But the point, of course, is that if China is in fact going to start to stimulate, and we already have the outlook for the US and for Europe and Japan moving towards additional stimulus, then we are potentially at the trough in terms of economic growth. But we may need to see some, in fact, real evidence of that before people are willing to give the benefit of the doubt to the oil price. What we are also starting to see is some consolidation within the shale sector. Returns for a number of, well, I guess the first point is that the shale sector is highly fragmented with a lot of smaller producers, and that's not especially efficient. So we are starting to see some consolidation, but there was also the expectation, I think, among oil executives that oil prices were going to rebound quickly following the big decline in 2014 and 15, and that is just not looking likely, particularly in view of the quantity of oil that is being produced out of the USA these days. Well, then that is now starting to throw focus back onto return on investment, and that is going to require some, I think, rationalization of the shale sector. So if we were to make a bullish argument for oil, then it is probably more to do with the rationalization of the shale producers than any other factor could help to support prices. Now, the other big move that we had in here today was in Bitcoin. This is not the first time that we've had a very substantial pullback over the weekend. I'm rather cautious about attaching causality to coincidence. When we think about how news stories are written, this is equally true of the stock market. People look at the price action and then they search online for a story that coincided with the move. Well, on this occasion, it was tweets by President Trump about Bitcoin. But I think the much more important point is that when we look at it on a logarithmic scale, then this looks like a reasonably similar sized consolidation. The two previous consolidations persisted for about a month, maybe a little bit longer than that, but about, let's say, 5 weeks. And then it broke on the upside. And when it rallies on the upside, then rallies of upwards of $3,000 are not unexpected. Certainly, that has been the case. We've seen a move from 4 to 5.5, that was $1,500. We've seen a move from approximately 5.5 to $8,000, so that's 2,500. Then we had a move from 8,800 up to approximately 13,600. So that was larger, but on a log scale chart, they look relatively similar for the simple reason that you have percentage moves on the scale. And considering the fact that the vast majority of people investing in cryptocurrencies are doing so on an unleveraged basis, then the rationale for looking at a log scale chart, I think, is rather well made. The more important point is that Bitcoin is steadying from the 10,000 level, and as long as it's doing that, well, then it's still in a reasonably consistent advance, and we have seen it now consolidating for about 3 weeks so far. That would suggest that there's probably another 2 weeks of consolidation before the next breakout can be expected, and that's assuming that we continue to see it trending in a consistent manner. Of course, it may not continue to be a consistent trend. That would tell us that there has been a change in the imbalance between supply and demand. Ethereum tends to be something like a high beta version of Bitcoin. It pulled back very violently in here today, but it did bounce from the $2,200 level. That represents the upper side of the base formation and the region of the trend mean. As long as it's holding the $200 level, then I think we can give the benefit of the doubt to the consolidation here. The other interesting charts are gold. Against a background where we've had quite a bit of volatility on the cryptocurrency sector, the gold price was relatively unchanged and was well off its lows. This continues to look like a first consolidation above the base, or a first step above the base. It has not yet ended, and it's only been going on for about 3 weeks. Within the context of a 6-year base, that's a very short period of time. But the defining characteristic of a base formation completion is that the breakout holds. And That means that the $1,350 area, having been an area of resistance previously, should now represent an area of support. And if that remains the case, then we are in a new bull market environment. Well, there is a reason why people are looking more at the precious metals now, and indeed in the cryptocurrencies. It's because of the likelihood that we're going to see outright efforts to support the economies of the world, and that is going to require our massive debt issuance, large fiscal deficits, and the very real potential that we're going to see a competitive devaluation of currencies. When that's viewed in terms of gold, well, we've had the breakout. Silver is just about beginning to steady, and it has found support in the region of the trend mean for the first time in a year, or at least so far. That's actually not true. It was the first time since January, so the first time in 6 months. The more important point is that there's been a sequence of lower rally highs evident since the middle of 2016. Every time it has dipped below $15, it has found support since 2014. And if it can sustain a move up and away from this trend mean, and most particularly push above the $15.50 level, well, then that's going to break the sequence of lower rally highs and confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. We also started to see in here today that platinum was starting to steady as well from the $800 level. We can see quite clearly on the yearly chart that there has been an incremental sequence of higher major reaction lows on platinum since August of last year. And against a background where prices have come down very meaningfully from the peak back in 2011, this does look like support building. And the fact that the low back in 2016 coincides with the region of where prices are right now, I think we can pretty much conclude from looking at these medium-term charts of platinum and silver that they're cheap on an objective basis. And with gold starting to move on the upside, then there is the real potential that they can play catch-up. Then palladium prices, which had got all the way back up to test the peak last week, have steadied. This has been the clear standout in terms of performance in the precious metal sector, and that remains the case. It is very much a leader. It's somewhat overbought in the short term, so we may get some additional consolidation, but it still looks like a bull market environment. And with the outlook for the precious metals improving, then that is improving the outlook for the gold miners sector. It's most specifically at this particular point in the cycle that they do tend to do best. And we have clearly seen a breakout out of what was a volatile, more than 2 year range following the clear break of the downtrend back in 2016. I think it's more likely than not that it's going to at least get back up towards the $30 level before we get a meaningful consolidation. But this does look like a more bullish environment than we've seen for at least the last couple of years. Now, when we think about the stock market, well, the S&P 500 broke up and out of its range last week, and I think we can see clearly on the decade chart that there have been occasions where we've had 18-month consolidations on three different occasions within this 10-year advance, and each has been resolved on the upside following a somewhat deeper pullback. And there's no doubt about it that the pullback we had in the fourth quarter was a doozy. Each of those occasions has represented support in the region of the 1,000-day moving average, or the 200-week moving average. And that has been evident since 2011. But it was also a very significant area of support back for most of the secular bull market previously. wasn't really until about 2005 that we started to see the pace of the advance really starting to pick up and the price moving very substantially away from that long-term moving average. Well, what it really tells us is that from an investor's perspective, that in a secular bull market, we can remain bullish about the broad market as long as it is finding support in the region of the trend mean following the pullbacks. What is also important is that when the price becomes really quite overextended relative to the trend mean, and I would more think about overextensions relative to the 200-day moving average, then we know that the likelihood of a reversionary process becomes more likely than not. That was certainly the case back in January of last year. It was equally the case back at the end of the third quarter. Now, we have seen the market ranging for a year and a half. There is a short-term overbought condition, so we may get some additional consolidation. But the more important point is, just like gold, that if this is a breakout, it will hold. And if the market has further to go now, then the breakout will be sustained. If it fails to sustain the breakout, well, then that would suggest that there is a surfeit of supply above the market. That would raise the potential that it is going to come back down into the range. And that could even potentially see it go back and test the 1,000-day moving average, which is in the region of the lows put in at the end of last year. The bigger picture is that we've seen the S&P 500, we've seen the Nasdaq, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average all pushing on the upside. So this is meaningfully a breakout in terms of stock markets. What is not breaking out is the Russell 2000. It has so far failed to sustain a move above the 1600-point level. Also, we have not seen the transportation index breaking on the upside. So that is representative of some indecision just yet on in terms of support for the market. If for a Dow theory buy signal, we would have to see both the transportation and the Dow industrials pushing on the upside. But one thing that I'm rather acutely aware of is that we are now in the second half of the third year of the US presidential cycle. This is, generally speaking, the better half of the year. The third year usually has a growth scare. We've had the growth scare. It's then that the Federal Reserve starts to lend assistance, and we're going to get that at the end of this month. They're going to stop decreasing the size of the balance sheet in September. So that is really quite close to now. Then there is the potential for the dollar to weaken further. It was in positive territory in here today, but certainly not in a dynamic manner. What I think is more interesting is not so much how the dollar is trading versus the euro, where we really do have a more rangy environment. And the bigger question is which central bank is going to be more activist in trying to devalue the currencies. But when we look at some of the emerging markets where the USA does not have a positive interest rate differential, then we can see, for example, that the Brazilian real is trading above the trend mean. So that is at least near-term support. The Indonesian rupiah is also trading stronger than its trend mean. It was at a new recovery high in here today. The Indian rupee was also in positive territory over the course of the last few weeks and again in here today. But more importantly, the moving average is now turning downwards, and the rupee has been trending higher against the US dollar for approximately 9 months already. Of course, as long as we would have to see these moves persist if the bullish environment is to continue to be given the benefit of the doubt. But when we start to think about why are these emerging market currencies doing better, well, the USA is removing supports from the dollar, but so is the ECB, and so is the Bank of Japan. So there's a competitive devaluation among the major currencies, whereas we are definitely seeing some interest coming back into the emerging markets. Well, with a stronger currency, that is going to provide demand for both the bonds and the equities of emerging markets. So the Nifty index has been consolidating in the region of the 2018 peak for now the last 2 months. There are certainly some questions around the housing finance sector, and that is certainly putting some downward pressure on portions of the Indian financial sector. But when we look at the performance of the wider index, then what we're presented with is still a bullish environment, and this consolidation is occurring above the 2018 peak. So banks are continuing to outperform in India, and that is really quite a bullish phenomenon. Then when we think about the strength of the, sorry, I keep having typos. I've programmed myself to type G7 when I should be typing G8. Well, when we think about the performance of the Brazilian market, it has been trending higher in a consistent manner over the course of the last 3 years, but on that US dollar version, it has just broken on the upside. Well, that is at least in part due to the strength of the currency as well as the strength of the stock market. Generally speaking, international investors really get excited about the potential for capital market, currency market, and yield appreciation. If they can get all three, then that represents a flood of additional money flowing into the emerging markets. But of course, it will be very much driven by governance. Whether there is going to be the same appetite for Chinese assets is going to be a very different story, and not least because of the slowing economy and the potential for the renminbi to get weaker from here. Certainly, the Chinese do not want to have a stronger currency, but they have so far been willing to support it around 7 to the US dollar. If the dollar does continue to weaken, well, then as long as they're pegging it, then that will be positive for the Chinese economy. When we think about the H share index, it has at least steadied in the region of the trend mean. This does look like a higher reaction low. Now, it needs to push up and through the 14,000 level to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. Wait, I'm sorry, this is at the 11,000 level. I just need to make sure that my local currency is the same. I do apologize for the difficulties I'm having with the Bloomberg. I have had to send off my old computer to Dell to have the battery replaced, so I had to move over to an Anywhere subscription, and that has resulted in some changes to my normal defaults. Now, when we think about where are we in terms of this cycle, it looks like the vast majority of investors have concluded that we are about to get another massive infusion of liquidity. And even the short-term overbought condition that we have in US Treasuries has not been able to muster the wherewithal to rally to any meaningful extent, and we saw some strength coming through in here today. This has been a really quite consistent downtrend, and we haven't really seen a rally of more than 30 basis points in the yield. Well, so far, it's even less than that on this particular rally. And that is confirmation that investors are both willing to give the benefit of the doubt to the likelihood of assistance coming through from central banks, but also that people are still unconvinced that the moderation in growth has been fully arrested. The Other point, of course, is that we still have this trade war, and it has not yet ended. If this is more of a Cold War than a trade war, then it's likely to move in fits and starts because the opportunity has now been given to US business to migrate away from China and to reduce their exposure to the Chinese market. Once that has been completed, then there is the real potential that we'll get a further intensification of the trade war. And we know how the last trade war ended. It was, in fact, an outright attempt to crash the economy of the USSR, and it worked. And that could well be the rationale behind the trade war on this occasion. We, I think, have to assume that that is the case, rather than merely being a possibility. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.